I'll never forget the time my sister Danielle and I were home alone one Friday night when our parents were out. I was 12 and she was 13. We have an average-sized house, but you can hear everything going on in there. For example, you could be on the top floor and hear someone talking down in the den. We were both doing our own things in our rooms upstairs. That's when I heard it. A slight tapping coming from downstairs in the den. I soon realized it sounded like tapping on the back door. I assumed it was Danielle, so I went down to the den. It was too dark outside to see who was out there, so I flipped on the outside light. It wasn't my sister, but a random guy. He looked mid-40s, long black hair, graying a bit, red cheeks, probably 6'1". Being that this was our backyard door and some stranger was standing on the outside of it, I almost ran away. But the guy was staring at me with a kind of unintimidating look, as if he needed help. I slightly pushed the door window screen open so he could talk to me. He told me he needed to use our phone. I asked him why and why he was in our backyard. He disregarded what I had said and pleaded for me to let him in. I told him sorry and asked him to leave before I would call the cops. I tried to slide the door window back up, but he actually blocked it with his arm and began reaching into my house trying to unlock the door. When I cried for my sister, the guy pulled his arm away. I ran upstairs where I met my sister halfway. She took a peek through the den stairway to the back door and saw the guy standing there still. She called our parents. They told us to call the police and to stay upstairs. We both stayed in our rooms for a while. There was no more tapping or anything, so me being my 12-year-old self trying to be brave, I went downstairs to the den. He wasn't standing by the door anymore, but the door window was lower than when I had left it. Then I realized, I didn't shut it in the first place. I walked closer to the door and then looked to my left. The door to the office was now open. I could have sworn it was shut earlier. It was too dark to see anything inside, and there was no way I was going in there. I took out my phone, opened the camera, turned on the flash, and pressed the button. As the phone took the picture, the flash from the camera provided enough light to see the guy who was standing at the door was now hunched over my office desk, and in the picture his head was turned to be facing me. I didn't know if he was running at me or not, but I felt like he was, and I ran upstairs and locked the den door. A familiar light tapping began coming from the den door now, and I could hear the man on the other side begging me to open it. I cried for my sister again and bluffed to the man, saying the cops were here. After that, he stopped, and I could hear the back door open and shut. It may have been stupid to say that, as it ruined any chances of the man getting caught and arrested, but it may have also saved our lives, as the cops did not arrive for another 5 minutes. This story is told under the author's father's point of view. Me and my girlfriend's brother had been talking about hunting, and I decided to take him on a hunting trip. It was his first time going, so I wanted to take him somewhere where I was sure he would get a deer. So I asked my uncle if we could go to his place, and he told me we could stay there for the weekend. I told him that was perfect and that we'd stay. Me and Adam got our stuff together and headed that way. It was a secluded property right smack dab in the middle of nowhere in Braxton County, West Virginia. We got to my uncle's. He had his truck started and told them to hop in. We get in, and I ask him where we're going. He told me to my hunting cabin about 10-15 miles out. When we finally made it to the cabin, it fell below our expectations. Two rooms, very small. As soon as we unloaded our stuff, he was gone. He told us to have fun and waved goodbye from his truck. Later, when we were getting settled for the night, we realized there were no curtains or lights, just lanterns. We didn't like being so exposed, so we hung clothes over the windows. Not long after, we climbed into bed. Then within a few minutes, there was a noise outside, like metal trash cans being banged against one another. Adam started to get paranoid until I said, "It's probably just a bear or something, go back to sleep." I told Adam, "Don't wake me up unless the cabin's on fire." I went back to sleep. At least until Adam started shaking me, saying, "Cliff, wake up, there's someone outside." "No, go back to sleep, there's no one." I stopped, because on the outside wall, besides Adam's bed, a noise, almost like someone or something, was raking its claws or nails all the way down the side of the cabin and stopped at the far window. The noise was followed by tapping on the window. Neither of us wanted to move the clothes to see what it was. I told Adam to load his gun, as I did myself. We stayed up all night and left in the morning. We questioned my uncle if he was playing a trick on us. He didn't have a clue what we were talking about. The author says his dad never went back to that cabin. The picture attached was taken by his uncle before he left them, and you could see the cabin in the background. I was 19 years old at the time, working at a sketchy motel. The motel was pretty run down, and the majority of people who stayed there were locals that were just doing things they weren't supposed to be doing. Let's just say the cops came by multiple times a week. I worked as both a front desk person, checking in these creeps all hours of the night, and as a housekeeper who got to clean up their nasty, vomit-smelling rooms afterwards. One afternoon, I was working as a housekeeper in the second building of the motel on the backside furthest from the office. I hated working over there because it not only had the most worn-down rooms, but it was always pretty vacant over there and way too quiet for comfort. I began cleaning one of my last rooms and wanted to get done in a hurry because it was getting late. I was washing the mirror in the room that I was cleaning when all of a sudden, I saw a man in the reflection staring at me. He was mid-50s, dirty, with long, greasy hair. Startled, I screamed, "Oh my God!" I told him he scared me. The room I was currently cleaning was vacant, so there was no reason why this man should have been in there watching me clean. However, we just had a meeting on customer satisfaction, and my boss was really pressuring us to be more polite and help the guests any way we could. Sir? I asked him cautiously. Can I get you anything? Towels? The man just stared back at me with a crooked grin and held out his hands to me. I thought maybe he was handing me a tip for cleaning his room earlier, but when I looked down, I saw he was holding a $100 bill. Alarm started going off in my head. No one tips $100 on a $40 a night room. The man just smiled and said his name was Terry. He said he was staying in the room next door with his wife Sherry and sort of joked about their names rhyming. He smelled like car oil and alcohol. When I asked him why he was trying to hand me $100, he laughed deep in his throat and said, "Me and my wife were watching you, and we just wanted to have fun with you." I felt like my heart jumped into my throat. No, I can't do that, sir, I'm sorry. I wanted to run out of the room screaming, but he was blocking the door, my only exit. The man smiled again, taking on a softer tone of voice, and invited me to come into his room to meet his wife, just to talk as friends. I nervously told him no again, and that I had a lot of work to do for the day. I prayed to God he would just go away, and eventually he did. He grunted and walked off in what I assumed to be the direction of his room. My mind began racing. There is no wife, I thought. This man could try and kidnap me. I was 110 pounds at the time and not very strong. He could easily overpower me. I locked the room from the inside and went directly to the phone to call my manager at the front desk, but the phone wasn't working. Adrenaline began pumping through my veins, and despite what I was always told not to do, I was panicking. Did he cut the line? No, I thought. This is a crappy motel, it happens all the time, but I just have to get out. I remembered that I had my cell phone out on my housekeeping card, but that was outside the locked door. I'd have to open the door to get it. I cautiously opened the door to the room that I was cleaning and peered out. I didn't see anyone, so I frantically began searching my cart for my cell phone. I was wasting too much time looking for it, so I just decided to run as fast as I could and make a break for the front desk in the office. Then from behind me, I heard the man again, but this time he was screaming to someone else, "She's running, she's getting away." I could hear his shoes slamming against the pavement after me. I quickly turned the corner, grabbed my keycard, and let myself into a stockroom and locked the door. Within moments, I heard the sound of the dirty guy and someone else running outside, searching for me. I stayed in that stockroom for 30 minutes shaking until I could no longer hear him searching for me. I finally got the courage to run the rest of the way to the front desk. When I made it there, I collapsed into my boss's arms and he called the police. The man and whoever else was in the room with him peeled out before the cops could arrive, and I was beyond shaken up. According to the police who ran a search, this wasn't the first time he had done something like this, and he was actually wanted for sexual assault, gross sexual imposition, and in the past was once charged with rape. A few weeks later, on what happened to be my birthday, this guy was caught. A few weeks after that, I quit. I will never again work at another motel.